Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that
Gracious Father, we are so privileged, Lord, to have your presence among us in this hour. Knowing the great parousia of Christ is a once-for-all thing. And you came down, Lord, and with a shout, a voice, a trump. And within that shout, voice, and trump, there are 84 signs and events which have taken place, in which 79 have already taken place, five are to come. Help us, Father, as we look at those five to come this morning, the voice and the trump, and those events associated with it. And help us, Father, as we just lay before your presence in thy word, because you, the Lord, the word, came down with a shout, which is a word, moving into the voice, which is a word, and into the trump, which is not an instrument, it's the word. It's word upon word upon word. And Father, as we enter into thy word, may we become manifested sons of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning will be number 37 in our series on what is the meaning of the shout, voice, and trump. And most of us understand from Brother Branham's sermon on the rapture that the shout, voice, and trump is the shout is the message, the voice is the resurrection, and the trump is the catching away. From Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, now notice the trumpets that we're speaking of is a call together for either a feast or a war. For a person, some sacred day or something like that. Notice you said for a person, yeah. And for the year of Jubilee, the announcing of the coming of the freedom, when they would go back. Now, we could take a complete morning on just that one thing. And I could actually take and show you many scriptures from just what Brother Brown said right there. And we're going to do it this morning. So you have a Bible reference to the things that he's saying. But now, getting into the trumpets, you got the background now of the seals and the church. And now we're going into the trumpet. The trumpet sounded, and the trumpet denotes either war or feast day. Or what it means is a gathering together of a people, the trumpet. Paul said, when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare themselves for war? Or for peace, or whatever it is. Who knows? You have to know what the trumpet sounds. Therefore, when the trumpet sounds, we hear something in the earth today, and there's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. Everybody's become a neurotic. Now, the word trump, in the Greek, the word trump actually means a wave, or like or a vibration. All right. Now, when you have a trumpet, you know the guy plays a trumpet. There is a vibration. That's what you're hearing is actually the vibration from it. Well, it's actually a vibration like a wave that takes you up. So I think it's beautiful, the choice of words that the scripture uses for that. And when it uses the word voice in contradistinction to shout, the word shout is a cry of excitement. It's kaluma. It's a Greek word kaluma. It means a military command. It's a cry of excitement, but it's loud. But the word voice is not loud. It's actually a subdued in such a nature. It's a, I forget what the exact word I wrote it down before I came up, but then I forgot it. So forgive me for that, but it's like a dull undertoning word and recital, kind of a recital. So the difference between the two is one is public, the other is not public. Jesus' first half of his ministry, which was 3.5 years, was public to everybody. William Branham's first half of his ministry, the same thing, Alpha must repeat in Omega. That's what the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega. It was to everyone. But then the resurrection ministry of Christ was only to those that were his elect. It was very private. Shout, then a voice. Then what happened? A trump. They were all caught up. All the Old Testament saints were caught up with him, and he led captivity captive. Right. So now William Branham had a 33-year, not 3.3 or 3.5, but 33-year ministry to the public. Now, I know there's people who want to believe that when Brother Branham comes back, you know, I'll ride the trail again, you know. They think that's going to be to the public. It's not going to be the public. It'll be just like it was in the Alpha. It'll be a very private thing. It'll be the voice of the resurrection. Now, remember, shout, voice, trump are three things, but it's all the word, the word, the word. The word that gathers the bride, the word that changes the bride, the word that takes the bride up. All right? Good. I'm glad you all agree. All right. Now, Brother Rand continued. Now, Paul said, when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare themselves for war or for peace or whatever it is? Who knows? You have to know what the trumpet sounds. This is the problem. We all know what the shout is because we've seen the fulfillment of it. We don't know the voice except for what the prophet taught us until we see the fulfillment of it. There's many things in Scripture that are prophetic, but we don't know until we see it come to pass. And Brother Brown said, God interprets His Word by doing what? Bringing it to pass, okay? So, there's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. Everybody's become a neurotic. The whole world is a neurotic world. And we know there's something wrong. The Pentagon, everywhere, we know there's something wrong. Now, back in around, 20-some plus years ago, I preached on the end-time neurosis, and I've had it on the website since we began the website in 97, so it predates that. And I think it's interesting because back in October of 2019, the Lord placed upon my heart to go back to that sermon. It was a series on the end-time neurosis, where Brother Brown said the whole world is in a neurotic condition. Well, that's a mental disorder, all right? And neurosis begins by Webster. If you look up neurosis in the Webster's Dictionary, he says there's seven different phases or seven different things that identify neurosis. He said it begins with you worry. You worry about everything and about what might happen. Not just worrying, but like you know the bill's coming due. You know it's coming. That's not worry. It talks about worrying about what might happen. All right. Then that worry brings on a compulsive behavior. Compulsive behavior. You're trying to. Well, the world's going to end, so we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do. So then you begin a compulsive behavior that moves into an obsessive behavior that moves into just moves on, moves into fear, moves into phobia, you know, moves into disassociation, all those things. So it's been a while since I preached, but in October of 2019, the Lord had me go back and look at that again. And so I preached a series for 11 weeks on the end time insanity. And I showed from the end time neurosis that end time insanity. And as I said, I preached for 11 weeks from December 1st of 2019 until the 26th of December. And then we spoke of some of the end time scenes, such as the 10 virgins, the 10 pieces of silver in the bride's crown, the servant and the 10 talents, and then the 11th hour people. Now, remember, the number 10, all numbers have a significance. You know, one is beginnings, you know, three is Brother Graham's the perfection, five is grace, seven is completion. The number 10, there's a one and a zero. It means it's the end of a cycle, the beginning of a new. So you have 10 virgins, it's the end of the virgins, the beginning of a new. 10 pieces of silver, it's the end of a cycle, the beginning of a new. Well, we have a president now who is 46. That's 4, 6 is 10. That's the ending of a cycle. America's done. All right? The beginning of a new. Then we spoke on some of the end time scenes, etc. That took us into January of 2020. Then on January 12th of 2020, we spoke on the importance of understanding the message by knowing the word. See, people can quote the prophet and they can quote him right. They can quote themselves right into hell. Like Brother Vail said the same thing. He said, you know, I've got 36 quotes. Where he said, you know, people say, well, you got to listen to Lee Vail or you're not going to make it. He said, if you believe that, you're going to hell. He said, you're a liar. You see, 36 quotes where Brother Vail said that. He said, I've had to fight that my whole ministry. People wanted to place me at a place. He said, I'm not vindicated. Brother Branham was the one that's vindicated. We've got to understand that. Vindication. See, people want to say Joseph Branham's vindicated. He's a vindicated prophet. Now, Joseph Branham is not a vindicated prophet. A vindicated prophet has thus saith the Lord. That's it. And if thus says the Lord doesn't come to pass, you don't have to fear it. But if it does come to pass, then that's the one to pay attention to. You see? It's not if you had, you know, people want to say, well, you know, you had the rainbow come down over your ministry. This, that doesn't vindicate. Those are signs and wonders. Signs and wonders is not a vindication. You see? Thus saith the Lord is the only vindication that we stand on. Alright? Now. So, then we showed all the false doctrines that have come forth in the message from people who would quote Brother Branham, but because they had no clue what the Word of God said, they took things that he said in part and then made doctrines out of them which ended up twisting what he said. They ended up teaching completely false doctrines such as two souls, seven thunders, polygamy. You know, he made a comment. He said, well, you know, polygamy is better than divorce. But he said, but they're still both wrong. Well, they don't take the, well, they're still both wrong. They just take, well, polygamy is better than divorce. And so you've got pastors all over Africa, some in America. They're polygamists. Why? Because that was in their heart. If it's in your heart, brother, sister, you'll find a way to bring that which is in your heart into reality. Let's face it, your mind is a garden. And the seeds you sow in your garden, all you got to do is water them, and they're going to come to manifestation. Then you have those who claim to believe that the message, they believe the message and teach things like the Son of God did not come into being until the virgin birth, and there was no pre-incarnate Son of God. And other doctrines, like when Brother Branham comes to ride this trail once more, well, that would be a worldwide ministry, they say. And still others, other things that he never said, anything close to what they teach, that Brother Branham was a fulfillment of Ephesians 4. He never said that. And that there are no more fivefold ministry. He never said that. And that you must just turn on the tape to make it to the rapture. He never said that. And the word push play is not in the scripture. It's not a biblical doctrine. Paul said, if you teach anything other than what I taught, you're cursed. He said, even if I teach anything other than what's already been said, I'm cursed. William Branham came and said, I have said nothing except for what Paul taught. And the people said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. They don't teach anything about being born again. Nothing about receiving the Holy Spirit. But you got to hear those tapes to make it into the rapture. And all of those things are taught because they may be able to use their finger to hit play, but they do not have the Holy Spirit to understand the Word. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and reminded me of a series I taught back in 1997 on the end time plague judgments and the end time depression judgment. And instructed me to teach them over again since many people were not around at the time to hear and recognize what is coming. And so I did that. I began that January 19th, and that very week the plagues of Wuhan hit this country. And since then, it has been word upon word upon word and line upon line upon line, and we have been drawn into this Word of God for this last hour as never before. And as we read it from our prophet's message and take it back to the Word of God, it has come alive. And we are seeing the very fulfillment of the end time promises almost on a daily basis. Why? Because when you take what the prophet said and bring it back to the scriptures, it jumps out. It becomes real. The next week, still in January 2020, on the 26th, we brought out about Daniel 8 and how Trump, although making manufacturing to prosper, would have a run-in with the Pope and his power would be broken without hand. And I said, that means somehow that he will not continue on, and that something would happen where he would be taken down and the Pope would be involved. The Bible says he would be broken without hand. Now, if it's in your hand, it's in your control. If it's out of hand, it's outside your control. Just read Daniel 8, chapter 8, verse 23 to 25, and you'll see it speaks specifically about President Trump. The man who he says he's a narcissist, he thinks a lot of himself, but he makes manufacturing to prosper, he uses enigmas, he does this and that, and he has a run-in with the Prince of Princes, which is the Pope. And then it says when he has that run-in, then somehow he's broken without hand. That was 10 months before the election, and he was so far ahead in the polls at that time, And Biden never came out of his basement to campaign. It looked like a shoe-in for Trump. But we all know what happened 10 months later when it was discovered after the election was over that the election was stolen by 3 Vatican satellites. The Leonardo satellites. In that same sermon, I spoke on the distress of nations and the squeeze. And after reading what Jesus said in Luke 8, he said, this is what I said. Let's read what else Jesus said will come upon the earth. So after he speaks of the distress of nations, and I'm reading from that sermon 2 years ago, actually, the squeezing of the nations, he adds, with perplexity. And this word perplexity means to have no way out of the situation, to be at a loss. So we see that much of what Jesus prophesied will come, it has to do with financial system. And now skipping up to verse 29, Jesus speaking of Israel becoming a nation, and he speaks to them a parable. Behold, a fig tree and all trees. And when they now shoot forth, you know that summer is nigh. You see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. That means near at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see all these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation that sees all these things come to pass, notice, this generation that sees all these things come to pass, we're there, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I then ask the question, so what is this distress of nations and why is it so perplexing? Now remember, this is way before the vaccine even came on the scene. This is what we must know if we are to understand why everyone on earth is going to be affected. The word distress is the Greek word sunoki, which means a narrowing or a constraining or a press. To hold together with constraint, to press on every side, like the forcing of a ship into a narrow channel, or the forcing of an animal into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication. All right? These are things God was putting forth from this pulpit, brother and sister, that the prophet had talked about, had warned us about. And that's why I preached on end time plagues, because he preached on end time plagues in the 60s, that they were coming, and end time depression in the 60s. All right? I'm reading from my notes from almost 2 years ago. All right? To press on every side, like the forcing of, what's a mandate? Is that a forcing? You're mandated to do this or you can't do this. Can't get on a plane, can't get on a train, you can't go to public, you can't even go to Costco unless you stand in line and wear a mask and all this other stuff. We've seen that mandating. We've seen the boycotting. What's a boycott? It's cancel culture. That's what boycotting is. Cancel culture. We're living in the time of the boycott right now. All right? And it means like a farmer puts the animal into a stall, he's fixed. All right? 6 foot distance. You're fixed. And then they can medicate. All right? To impel. Now, I said from this we can see that the whole world is being pushed or squeezed into a universal condition from all sides in order to receive or be open to the bailout of Rome. It's all tied with the reset. Why? Why does Satan have a reset in Satan's name? Because God has a reset coming. It's called a millennium. It's called the ending of the earth. A millennium, a reset, and then the new heavens, the new earth. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers, it's all just so perfectly in front of us. And I said, from this we can see the whole world is being pushed into squeezed into a universal condition from all sides in order to receive or be open to the bailout of Rome. And then we see that the world will be perplexed by this squeeze. Now, Brother Brand told us, wait till that squeeze comes up. So we're looking at squeeze. Wall Street uses the word squeeze all the time. It's an economic term. It's a controlling. They want to control you. See, that's why they want to get rid of paper currency or even gold and silver. They don't want to use that. They haven't used that since the 80s. It's because they can control you. If it's encrypted currency, it's all digital. They'll know everything you spend your money on so that they can tax you on everything you spend your money on. That's what it's all about. Supreme control. All right? And the word perplexed, because it says, you know, that it'd be a distress of nations and perplexing, okay? And the word perplexed means there is no way out of it. It's not going to be turned around. I don't care if Trump came back in 2024. He's going to come back too late. I believe we'll be gone before that, with all my heart. Now, I'm not a prophet, so I can't tell you, thus says the Lord, because no man would know the day or the hour. But Brother Adam said, we would know the season. And we're in the season. So the word perplexed means there's no way out of it, and thus the world will begin to panic. Remember, the Brother Brown said that the world must come into a neurotic condition, and the first stage of this neurosis is anxiety, which is to worry about what might happen. That leads then to all kinds of things. Now, Luke 21:26, that men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Well, right now, men's hearts are not only failing for fear, but they're failing from myocarditis and pericarditis because of the vaccine. And so in the next 2 years, we have seen all of that fulfilled, and we're in the midst of the greatest squeeze the world has ever seen. Then in that same series on the unveiling of God, we went into those things further and showed the following. Then in December of 2020, they announced the rollout of a vaccine. Their words, generally, it's unlikely the vaccine will be available to the general public until the spring or summer of 2021. At least some timeline suggests March or April of 2021. Well, in March of 2021, we spoke on the Mark of the Beast and how the rollout of, or the optics of the Mark of the Beast would take place. And we said in the unveiling of God, in a sermon, and in fact, we brought out from Jezebel religion where Brother Brown said they can't get it done through religion, so they will mix it with politics, and that's where they will get it done. You see? Now, in a sermon, God keeps his word. Brother Brown said, what a disgrace. Now they have to have things like that, that has to happen to cope with the spirit of the day. That's the reason that this church is coming into the worship of Mary and other women and things. It's that same spirit under a religious head. And that's the reason they have to get your mind off the unadulterated word to produce that program. Sure, you see the twist that we're in? Do you see that American youth, what condition it's in, that men and women of tomorrow? No wonder Jesus said, except these days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Hallelujah, that's exactly what we're saying. With this mRNA taking over the people's DNA, and I don't know what percent of the people have gotten vaccinated, but I haven't, and I never will. But those people are getting vaccinated. Now they're saying, if they've had 3 vaccinations, their immune system is completely wiped out. They are HIV positive. Because they put HIV in there. You know why they put HIV? Well, Brother Peter and I, when they first started talking about the vaccine, when it first came out, Brother Peter Gatcho, who worked in many vaccine plants with Eli Lilly in upper management, him and I sat down and I said, you know, Brother Peter, it's COVID SARS-2. I said, we know COVID is the common cold. There's 200 variants. There's 200 different cold variants. SARS, we know, came out of the Wuhan plant in 2003. And 2. What is the 2? We begin to find out the 2 is they added 2 elements of HIV. So we had to ask yourself the question, okay, why would they add 2 elements of HIV? That's so that your immune system would not reject it. Because you wouldn't have immune. It would suppress your immune system. Now we're finding out, after everybody had gotten vaccinated, except for us little people, that that's exactly what they did. They put it in there because the lipids that they had to put the COVID SARS into with all the spike proteins, the body would immediately reject them and it wouldn't last in the body more than 24 to 48 hours. So they put it in a lipid, which is like a fatty type of thing, and then they inserted it into the body and they had mixed in that vaccine, they had the 2, which is 2 elements of HIV. To suppress your immune system long enough so that it could get in and start replicating itself. That's exactly what they're done. Now remember, if the Satan injected Eve with his needle, all right, to produce a Cain, which is a hybrid human, then at the beast system at the end is going to do exactly as the beast in the beginning, and they're injecting the people to make a hybrid human being. Okay, so now we're still going back 2 years here. Now, he says, except those days be shortened, no flesh could be saved. Therefore, I'm basing my thoughts that we're at the end time. The Lord Jesus shall come soon. I'm speaking, this is Brother Brown speaking here. But the spirit of the day, oh, can you take on your thinking? Can you see what's happened? Before this great onset coming on, to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten. And we explain what the hold is. You know, that's your lockdowns, right? They call it a holding pen amongst the cowboys so they can put the cattle in for two purposes, to brand them and to inject them. And it's exactly what they're doing with this thing we're going through right now. He says, just like it is in other countries, forcing them into things that they do not accept, forcing them, see, to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. Can't you see America has fell for the glamour and goddess of this? It's paid the devil in the realm of flesh, making a way for this to present itself. Amen. I hope you understand that. Stay clear from it. I don't care how many D's, PhDs, or ever what it is, it's a lie. For let every man's word be a lie, and mine be true, saith the Lord. For heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Notice, what did the prophet say? When these things come, the hold comes, the forcing, the injection, all this stuff. He said, what? Stay clear from it. So these preachers are saying, well, we're not going to have church until everybody's got the vaccine. They're not saying what God says. They're preaching satanic rhetoric. Those preachers that say, oh, it's okay because you're going to render to Caesar, but Jesus didn't say render your body to Caesar. He said render your money to Caesar in taxes. If they came to him, they gave him coins. He said, are we supposed to pay taxes? He said, whose face is on the coin? He said, Caesar. Oh, give it back to Caesar. Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. And he paused. But render to God. To give what's God. But to God, what's God's? God said, your names are in the palm of my hand. We're His. We don't belong to Caesar. Your money, that's the name. But that's what taxation is all about. They get the bigger stick. They'll come and take everything if you don't pay your taxes. But he said, I hope you understand. Stay clear from it. I don't care how many DVDs, whatever. Now notice, he said, after the hold is gotten, so what does that mean? Now remember, I'm still reading from 2 years ago. According to the dictionary, it means to remain or continue in a specified state. That would then be these lockdowns that we've seen worldwide, these stay-at-home orders. This is a hold-down. We are going through, or what we have just gone through, and actually this now is a year ago. This is in March of 21st, I believe, of 2020 or 2021. And notice his words, before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast, and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. Now, he said, after this hold is gotten, and the word gotten means to come to a specified place, to arrive at, to reach, to succeed, to become enabled, or to be permitted. And so we see, after the stay-at-home order and the lockdown, after that, then what? He said, the next thing is the great onslaught coming up. And what will cause that great onslaught? Notice, before the great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by the forcing the people after the hold, lockdown is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. Well, what are they forcing on people? Right? Can't say it because they'll take this video off of YouTube. Force them into things that they do not accept. What does that do? Once everybody got it, what does it do? Cause the persecution. And the boycott. What's the boycott? It's a cancel culture. You don't got it, you can't do this. You don't got it, you can't do this. What's the persecution? Oh, you don't have a job either. Can't get a job. We're going to drum you out of the military. You know, if you work for a hospital that pushes this stuff, you know, either take it or you're done. You're through. No job for you. So see that he's telling us that after the stay-at-home orders, after they come, which has already taken place, this is now March 21st of 2021, he says, after that, then there comes the forcing. So we ask the question, the forcing of what? And what does the forcing produce? Does the forcing have to do with the onslaught that's coming? Which he says, coming, it comes after the hold is gotten? Well, this is a map that we showed a year ago. If you look at the red, you look at all the, that's the whole world. The deep red is those that have mandates in place, and the lighter red is those that have partial mandates in place. And so the whole world is under a mandate of some sort or other. Now, what is he talking about here? This is strange language because back in the 60s, when Brother Branham said these things, but not so strange now that we have our eyes open to see the word being fulfilled before our very eyes. But he's speaking of a time when the great holding or lockdowns come, which will be a universal thing upon all nations. And that is that shows the lockdowns and the mandates. And it was in all the reds, there's every city. Look, in this country, every city had to wear a mask. People driving down the road, nobody in the car, and they got a mask on. Why? Anti insanity. They're anxious. They're worried about what might happen. You see? Now, and what is after the hold gotten mean? Well, any cattleman knows that a holding pen is a place where the steer is held and cannot move about freely. His freedom has been taken from him temporarily until they can inject him with whatever shots he needs. So he is in a holding pen, a place of confinement, until those that control him decide to let him out. But they don't let him out until after he's branded. Why have they lightened up on everything? Because 70% of the people are branded. They got an mRNA that can be traced. They got a digital code for each of those. And I've shown you that the patent for that is a WO, standing for World Order, 2020-060606. That's the patent for the vaccines. And doesn't the Bible say that they'll have the number 666? I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast was already in them to comply. The denominational spirit that says we got more people here, we got good music, we don't need the word. We don't need the word. Cain receives the mark of the beast. Why? Because he did not comply with God's word. He chose his own thinking over the word of God. And usually that freedom only comes after he has been injected or branded. And he is never really free because he has been tagged. Notice it says things that we would never accept, but which have been in practice in all other countries. So what are those things that we would never accept, but they are in countries that have already accepted, and that's the answer to that is dictatorship and tyranny. No freedom to assemble, no freedom of speech, no freedom to own firearms. It's all coming down to the end times, brother and sister, and it's coming here. And it's already here. I spoke these words here that you're reading right now, a year ago, a little over a year ago. Before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. What's the boycott associated with? The mark of the beast. You see? Now, at the end time, or at the time that I did not, at that time I did not go any further into this quote, but Brother Peter just sent it to me the other day because he's been chewing on this and looking at this, examining this, and I've been too because I've used it in several sermons since. But I didn't focus on up here where it was in there, where Brother Branham said from this quote, where was it? He said, stay clear of it. Right here. It's paid the devil in the realm of the flesh, making a way for this to present itself. Amen. I hope you understand that. Stay clear from it. Now, I did highlight it back then, but I didn't focus on that because it's still in the future. All right, now. So, anyway, When he sent me this the other day, Brother Anderson, can't you see America has fell from the glamour of the goddess of this? It paid the devil in the realm of the flesh, making a way for this to present itself. Amen. I hope you understand this. Stay clear from it. I don't care how many DDs, PhDs, or whatever what it is behind it. It's a lie. For let every man's word be a lie and mine be true, says the Lord. For heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not never pass away. So he warned us to stay clear from it when it comes. Well, brother, sister, it's here. And how many people are staying clear from it? How many pulpits are telling the people to stay clear from it? No, they've all buckled. Render to Caesar. Oh, bless you, brothers and sisters. Render to Caesar what Caesar's. We don't want to fuss. Listen, show me one prophet of God that wasn't considered a crank. Show me one man of God that didn't stand with the word of God that was not considered a crank. I remember the very first time in 1979 I went up to visit Brother Vail. And then we sat up in the evening time and we're talking this and that, and I went to bed that night and I thought, my, he's really rough. You know, he's really just very rugged and very terse. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, which of my prophets wasn't terse, wasn't rough and rugged? And I realized right then, I've got an understanding. It's changing my thinking. You see, because back before then, I was in the message from 74, 79. You know, in a church where you had to be such sweet, such perfectly gentleman and everything, but you took no stand. You took no stand for the word. Oh, in your own way, you kind of did. But you really didn't. And then I changed. I realized God wants us to have a double-edged sword, not a butter knife. Now, back to what I was teaching a year ago. So let's reword this some. Not adding to or taking away, but breaking down what he said and checking out what he means by certain key words he drops here. And that will give us a better understanding of what he's saying. Now you say, well, why are you going back 2 years? Well, I want to go back 2 years to show you what we're going to go into. All right? What God is, and we'll get through this 2 years ago and get into what we're now seeing right now. That's what I want to bring up. But before the great onslaught, Brother Ramsey said, before the great onslaught coming on, which will bring the mark of the beast and fulfill the scripture. So what is that onslaught that will bring the mark of the beast? An onslaught is defined as a fierce or destructive attack brought on by the force of many overwhelming numbers. Like Jesus said, of the devils coming on like a flood. Like what we have seen, where the so-called pandemic has overwhelming numbers of people who have come down with it, and overwhelming numbers of mortalities, even though those overwhelming numbers may be a delusion and in fact just made up and not real. In other words, when they take the average person that died from the disease had 2.6 comorbidities, which means they were dying of something, whether it was heart disease, lung disease, whether it was diabetes, whatever. They even took people that died from a motorcycle accident, and the person was dead when they arrived at the hospital, and they tested their body to see their solution, their body fluids. Oh, he's got COVID. And did you know that most of those COVID swabs were coming out of China? And they had COVID already on them?
Yeah.
But, you know, he died from this thing. So now we can up our numbers. An overwhelming onslaught. An overwhelming numbers. To make it look like it's a genuine thing when it wasn't. It wasn't common flu. It was an uncommon flu because it had SARS in it. But it was a man-made germ warfare, which we were preaching on back in January 2020. All right? But it was all a delusion. A delusion upon the people to change the people of the world thinking that somehow this great thing is happening, and yet it didn't happen in Africa because why? Well, the people were taking hydrochloroquine and ivermectin for malaria. They were taking it every day, so they didn't get it. So you didn't have the overwhelming numbers there. But the rest of the world, so the media just blacked him out and just showed the rest of the world. Now it reminds me of when Abraham defeated the five kings, when he used trickery and had the men spread out, and they had torches tied to ropes, many torches between each man, and a certain distance apart from the next. So it looked like an entire hillside were strewn with soldiers with lighted torches when Abraham and his men were actually well outnumbered by the five kings. But through trickery, got them all, when they saw they were being completely surrounded, they started fighting with whoever was in the dark shadows, and they were killing each other off, and they just killed each other off. But in the darkness of the night, blowing the trumpets, and it's interesting because the trumpet declares war, from the different men spread out strategically. So it sounded like the attack was from all directions, and therefore the armies of the five kings reacted in such a fearful way that in their confusion they began to fight each other in the darkness of the night, and they killed themselves, leaving little work for Abraham and his men to finish the job. That's what's happening in the world today. You know, like the Bible says in Revelations, the people are deceived by what? The sorcerers. What's that word? Pharmakia. Pharmakia. Pharmacy. Okay. So when Brother Branham speaks of the onslaught that's coming, he says that this onslaught will produce a forcing of something. There will be a forcing of the people. So when does this forcing of the people take place, and what will be the forcing of the people? These are questions everyone that believes this message should be asking themselves. And when will this take place? He tells us when this forcing will take place. He says, after the hold is gotten. Now, so we must ask ourselves what he means by the hold is gotten. The word gotten means to come to a specified place, to arrive at, to reach, to succeed, to become enabled. When the whole world is now enabled, they're compliant. Papers, please. Right? Passport, please. Just like Germany. Nazi Germany. Same spirit. Or permitted. So once the hold has been permitted to take place, then the forcing will take place. Once the hold has been activated, then while the people have nowhere to turn, then the forcing will begin. He's letting us know how things will come down. So once we see one part, we should be anticipating the next move to take place. That is how we stay on top of the word as it comes to pass. And the word hold, what does that mean? Now remember, Brother Branham, having been a cowboy, I believe he was speaking in cowboy terms here, that no one really understood back then until now, that we're looking at the manifestation of what he said in this hour. Because God interprets his word by doing what? Bringing it to pass. And what a type to see the people who have been placed on hold, or rather in holding pens by being locked down throughout the world until the injections and branding takes place. The cattle are already... Now this, again, this is before it all took place. These are words I'm still reading from Unveiling of God 138, which is March 21st of 2020. The cattle are already owned by the cowboy, but he places his brand on him to give it an outward sign or a mark that the cattle is his. And that is what the elites in Catholic Church are in the process of doing. They have locked down the world and are now in the process of applying the mark, their sign of ownership. Now, when all of this started coming and they said, well, we're going to have the vaccine in March, then we had people like the Pope say, I think that you're not a Christian if you don't take it. And then the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church said, not only that, but he said, you're, if you don't take it, he said, you're just wrong. He said, you're imperiling other people. Then we got Billy Graham's son gets up. I think everybody should take it. And I checked every single denomination. And at that time, the only one that said, well, we should leave it up to the people whether they want it or not. We think they should get it, but, you know, that's up to them. That was the Lutheran Church. They were the only ones. Everybody else, whether it was the Mormons or the Muslims or the Catholics or the Baptists, or the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, they all said it should be mandatory. Everyone should take it. Now, sounds like a religious dogma to me. Number four. Just like it is in other countries, forcing them into things that they do not accept. Could that be a worldwide vaccination? Now remember, this is before the vaccinations came out. I'm saying this. Could that be a vaccination card, a green card, like the Jews in Nazi Germany had to wear a yellow Star of David and be compelled to take regular updates to the vaccine card at the will of the government, when people have become like cattle and must be rounded up to have a vaccination and then registered like a Hereford cow? And then he says, number five, and this will cause the persecution. Why? Because many will resist. The Bible tells us that they will be hunted down and forced to take this mark upon them. Remember, they're already doing that in places like Australia. Australia already has internment camps. And you know what? You're exempt if you got HIV. Well, 95% of the people that have had the third shot have HIV, and you don't know it yet. You see, why did they, 10, 15, 20 years ago, why did they make HIV a non-touchable political disease? They said, well, it's amongst the homosexuals, and if you got to declare yourself HIV positive, well, that's discriminatory. You don't have to ask that. If you go to your doctor, you don't have to tell them you got HIV. You work for a place that prepares food, they can't fire you if you got HIV. So you can put your saliva and everything else in people and spread it. But that's okay because, you know, you're gay. This whole thing has been to push so that these people that got this mark, this brand, don't have to take it. They don't have to go to these internment camps. They've already got the brand. They're already in line with your dogma. And this will cause a persecution. Why? Because many will resist. The Bible tells us that, and they will be hunted down and forced to take this mark upon them. You know, even the governors of some of the provinces in Australia have said, we will hunt them down. That's right. Trying to force vax everyone. The Bible says they will be compelled to do so, or they will not be able to buy or sell. I'm afraid that everyone who claims to be a Christian in this world is looking way down the road for the branding to begin and the mark of the beast to be assigned to everyone on the earth, both small and great, rich and poor, as we read in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:16, and he causes, what's that? A forcing, a mandate. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, and to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now here's wisdom, let him that hath an understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of the man is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. Isn't that the number of the vaccine? So you get the vaccine, you've got it. And again, I'm not saying that the vaccine itself is the mark of the beast, it's the optics. There had to be a woman dressed in purple for us to know that the sixth vision was fulfilled. Right? And Brother Matt said she'd either be president or vice president. I think it's interesting when Bill Clinton was sworn in as president, Hillary Clinton was standing at his side dressed in purple as well. And she became the most ruthless, powerful woman in America, even to the point where when Donald Trump was running against her, she was able to use the CIA and the FBI and everybody to try to say he was colluding with the Russians. And she still is not in prison when she should have been in prison the second day Trump was in office. I blame him for that. He didn't do it. He could have done it. And been right to do it. But then when Kamala Harris, the prostitute, became vice president, she was dressed also in purple. Brother Graham, in the sixth vision, he said that woman would be dressed in purple. He said either vice president or president. So it's fulfilled. He said immediately after the sixth vision, what? America is destroyed by Russia. That's happening, brother, sister. It's going to happen very, very soon. So, he says, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of man, the number 666. Like I said, that's in the vaccine. And you know who made the vaccine? I mean, who made the patent? Bill Gates. His company, Microsoft. They patented that. That's their patent. Now, notice he causes all, he compels all the world, whether they are rich or poor, free or bond, small or great, to receive the mark. Notice it is not a free thing. A free will thing they are doing, but they are compelled to do it, which means they are forced into it. How? Because If they don't do it, they will not be able to buy or sell, save he that has the mark. California's run that way already. And so are some of the other Chicago area and some of the other very blue states. New York. Now, Satan thought, I will bring them into Laodicea, and that will cause the word in them to die right there. I will choke off the word with the cares of this world. So, Jesus told us in Matthew 13. But that did not work on everyone. So, then he goes to plan B, and he says, he causes all, he compels all, rich and poor, elite or peasant, free or in prison, to receive this mark. And then John tells us, here's a clue, it's the number 666. Okay. Now, we have never at any time on earth, in the history of the world, have we ever had such a medical tyranny that everyone on the planet is being compelled to take a vaccine, an injection in the arm, or if you refuse to take it, you will not be permitted to fly on an airplane, nor ride on a train or ship, or gather in public, or use any mass transit system for transportation. Nor will you be able to vote, nor hold down a job, nor even buy food or any other essential to live. I would say that's compelling, my brothers and sisters. Now, all that for a background this morning. I want, because that leads us up to today. I want to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. Where Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Now, if you have gone along with the system, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, that word is parousia, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, and who is this Lord? It's Jehovah Elohim, the Word. And what shall he, the Word, do? He shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Word does that. With the voice of the archangel, the Word does that. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Why? Because it's all taking place right now. We're in the midst of it. If you've been part of the shout, you'll be part of the voice. All right. So what is the shout? It is the word, the message of the hour. And what is the voice of the archangel? It is the word of God. And what is the trump of God? It is the word of God. God descends with his word because he is the word. And the three things he does is word, word, word. Shout, voice, trump, word, word, word. God, by his word, does all three. That is the key. Jesus' first coming had a shout. A public message went forth. Then a very private resurrection ministry, a voice. And as I mentioned, Steve, would you go in my office? There's a little piece of paper that has a shout, voice, and trump written on it. And bring it out to me. It's just right in the middle of my desk. Thank you. Then a catching up for the resurrected ones. That's the trump. And what happened in the Alpha must repeat in the Omega. Notice we see in Matthew 5:26, and at midnight there was a cry made. What's the cry? It's a loud voice. It's a loud shout, actually. Thank you. Okay. So, the trump is a vibration, a wave, a billow, and the word billow is described as a great wave, surges of a great wave of surge of the sea to make rise. What's that happens at the trump? We rise out of here, don't we? The voice, it's from the Greek word phone, P-H-O-N-E, just like our telephone, right? That comes from the root word phaino. It's the idea of disclosure, a tone, an address. In other words, it's a disclosure. It's something that's quiet, but it's a disclosure, something that will be revealed. But it's not to the public. It's a disclosure. You don't disclose publicly, you disclose individually. All right? In other words, it's something that's been secret and now is made known. And the word shout is the word, Greek word kaluma. It's a cry of incitement. It's a shout to incite by word. And it's an order or a command. So, trump's a word. It's an incitement by word. Voice is a word. Shout's a word. Why? Because the word itself came down. God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Okay. Now, so the word cry means a scream. As we see, at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom. Behold means look and see. The bridegroom is here. His parousia is here. Come out to meet him. And the word cry means a scream, to call aloud, a loud cry, a cry. And a loud voice is a public message that the same one who gives a public message, i.e. the shout, is also the same one who gives a non-public voice of resurrection, like Jesus did in the Alpha and then the Omega. The trump is not an instrument like a trumpet, but it's said in the Scripture, there is a voice of trumpet, which means it has a message as well. And this is spoken of in many Scriptures. The trump, it has a voice. It is the same voice that is in the shout. That is in the voice, and that is in the voice of the trumpet. You say a voice of a trumpet? Yes, that's what I said. If the Lord himself does all three in his parousia, and he is the Word, then it will be the same word voice that does all three. It has to be, because it is the voice of God and not the voice of a man. Revelation 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So this is a loud voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet calling, or talking with me. So, a trumpet talking? Yeah. Because it's a voice. It's a word. What said? The trump said, come up hither. You know what the trump in Revelation, in 1 Thessalonians says? Come up hither. And I will show unto thee things that must be hereafter. Revelation 8 and 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. What? Messages. Revelation 8 and 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Revelation 8 and 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by the reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which were not yet to sound. All right. And David said in Psalm 47:5, God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Well, isn't that exactly what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4? Shout, voice, trump. And David says God has gone up with a shout, voice, trump. That is what Paul taught exactly, and David prophesied 700 years before Paul taught it in Scripture. So the shout of God is tied to the trumpet of God. And we know a trumpet calls for an assembly of the people, and also it declares war. Now, from Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Brown says, now, notice the trumpets that we're speaking of is a call together for either a feast or war, for war, for a person, some sacred day or something like that. Notice, you said for a person, yeah, or for the year of Jubilee, the announcement of the coming of freedom, when they could go back. Now, we could take a complete morning on just that one thing, but now getting into the trumpet, you got the background now of the seals and the churches. Now, we're going into the trumpet. The trumpet sounded. The trumpet denotes either war or a feast. What it means is gathering people, gathering together of the people, the trumpet. Okay, Paul said, when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare themselves for what? War. Again, I'm just giving you scriptures. This is a quote from Brother Branham. But I'm giving you scriptures and quotes showing you that the trumpet has two things. War, actually, war and peace, because the peace is the assembly getting out of here. See, the trumpet, when the trumpet sounds, it's an alarm. When the trumpet sounds, it alarms those to go into hiding, to get up to the mountain, to get away, or those people are going to fight. All right? When the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare themselves for war? Or for peace? Or whatever it is. See, that's Brother Brandon. Who knows? You have to know what the trumpet sounds. You have to know what the trumpet sounds. Just like you had to know what the shout, that was a message that God himself came down. So how many people claim to believe that God sent a prophet and they have no clue that it was a parousia of God? God himself came with that shout. He revealed it to a prophet. The prophet then reveals it to us, speaks it to us. Therefore, when the trumpet sounds, we see something in earth today. There's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. Everybody has become neurotic. The whole world is in a neurotic world. And we know there's something wrong. The Pentagon everywhere. We know there's just something wrong. Now, I want to accomplish what I want to accomplish this morning in the last maybe 15, 20 minutes is to make you aware that the shout, voice, and trump are all the same word coming in three phases. Shout, voice, trump. The shout is the message, which is the word. The voice is the word of God. And the trump is the voice of the trump, which is also the word of God. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, throne of mercy, Brother Branham said, but you notice in here, it was not mercy seat, for there was lightnings and thunder and voices. There's no lightnings and thunders at mercy. There's judgment. Let's just turn to Exodus 19 chapter, the 6th verse. Exodus 19 chapter of Exodus, and let's begin at the 16th verse, and it came to pass. Now listen. What? And when God ascended up on the Mount Sinai, and it came to pass on the third day of the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. So what is the voice of the trumpet? The archangel. Well, doesn't he say, the Lord descends with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump. What is the trump? It's the voice of the archangel, the same chief messenger. Huh? All right. The archangel. So all the people, listen, all the people was in the camp trembled. Judgment. They marked out there, and God had given them grace to travel by, but they had demanded a law. God wanted them to be interdenominational. They wanted to make a denomination out of it, something they could argue about. Instead of just following God and living under His jurisdiction, under His power, grace had provided a prophet. Grace had provided an atonement, a lamb. Grace had provided all these things, and yet they wanted judgment. They wanted something they could do. God said, assemble them together. I'll let them know what it is. I'll show them what it is. Now read and listen. And the voice of the trumpet got louder and louder until it shook the earth. You see what judgment is? I don't want that. Give me mercy. And then someone asked Brother Branham, and they just asked what scripture that was. So, from Rapture, paragraph 93, therefore the message calls the bride together, sees the shout and the trumpet. The same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout and voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth, see? And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trump, with the sound of the trump, and when it does, it calls, always a trumpet calls Israel to the Feast of Trumpets, see, which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, and the Feast of the Trumpets. And now a trumpet announces a call together, calling to the feast, and now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. Now watch, the assembling together in the bride, the Feast of the Trumpet, the wedding supper. We have seen it in types. Now watch, just a minute before we close. Now notice how God spoke of the trumpet as the voice of the prophet in Amos 3 and 6. Shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So although the trump designates the voice of God speaking, it comes through a prophet. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see how the trumpet sounding is associated with the gathering of the people and a declaration of war, as Brother Van taught us. The Apostle Paul also mentions in 1 Corinthians 4:8-8, where he associates the trumpet blast with the declaration of war. He says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare themselves for war, for battle? In Ezekiel 7:14, we read, they have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, the pestilence and famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. What's that going to happen? At the trumpet. We haven't just seen one pestilence, one plague. This is the hour for germ warfare. There's going to be many. When each messenger was raised by God, came to earth with the trumpet, He also had a vial. It's in the scripture. When Paul went off the scene, there was a plague swept through Europe. When Malachi and when Columba went off the scene, there was the Black Plague, bubonic plague. When Martin Luther went off the scene, there was tuberculosis. It killed 25% of all Europe. The bubonic plague in one time killed 50%, another time killed about 40%. When John Wesley went off the field, the Spanish influenza, it killed 40 million people, but it infected 1 billion. There was only about not even 2 billion people on Earth at that time. What about when the seventh messenger, the seventh angel, according to Revelation, has seven vials? Why? Because he has a vial for each age. What's coming, brother, sister? Brother Val and I sat down for 4 hours one day combing over this back in 97 before I preached that series on the plagues. And in that series, it's on the .net website under End Times. And gave their land for inheritance, and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. So, in other words, it didn't matter to people like Caleb. He said, God promised it. It's going to happen. So does it matter that Russia's getting ready to bomb the U.S.? Shouldn't. You're not going to be here for it. All right? From questions number 5, Ezekiel 37 and 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, who prophesies but a prophet? Right? So, who's going to prophesy and say, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then the bones come back to life. Now watch. What is the meaning of that scripture? The answer is number 5. Again, I'll go to the message of God's vindicated prophet for our answer. I believe the vision concerns prophecy of the end time resurrection, as Brother Brown explains in the following quotes. From Christ in the Mystery, he says, Oh, how I wish I had time to go back into Ezekiel and pull out them dry bones and show you. He said, can these bones live again? He said, prophesy. Well, how can prophecy come? Only through the prophet. It's the word of the Lord. Hear ye the dry bones, the word of the Lord. And sinew skin come upon them, and they stood up a mighty army, and they begin to march toward Zion. A resurrection, brother, sister. The skin and the bones are going to come from up, and we're going to go up. We're going to march up to Zion. Glory to God, that's him. That's him, the victory. The ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion with joy. All his holy mountain, nothing shall hurt nor destroy. He proves his resurrected life, then he vindicates himself. From restoration of the bride tree, Brother Brown says, now, the evening light, exactly according to prophecy, the evening light come out to restore what? To restore what the bugs had eaten. It started growing, and then what did it do? It denominated. So God pruned them up, bound them up, laid them back, let them go ahead and organize. Then the next thing come up, he bound them up, laid them up. Tree went on. Then he bound them up, laid them up. Said, now, one of these days, they'll be burned. Bind them up in the organization. But then, what? Right at the top of the tree is where the fruits ripen first. That's right. Right at the top of the tree. So it's the top of the tree here that sees the evening light. See, the other ages didn't see the evening light. We're in the evening, and we're in that light. Now, Noah had three rooms in the ark. One room was for the creeping things, see? The second room was for the fowls. But the top room was where the light was. The light that shined first, it never come on the first floor or the second floor, but on the top floor. The tree don't bear fruit. It's fruit from the bottom, and then second like that. It was all pruned off into organization, but it's in the top part. Where I will restore, saith the Lord. I'll send forth the evening light, and it'll bring back the word, making it manifest. I will restore all that I promised. All that promise, the same Holy Spirit will bring and bear the same signs. I'll have an Easter, a resurrection for the bride, the same as I had for the bridegroom. See, evening lights come out to shine, same as in the morning, same signs, same thing. The same light will produce the same fruit that they had there. If it's shining on the same tree, amen, proves his word now fulfilled, I will restore, saith the Lord. Now listen closely. Now there was, listen, don't miss this now. There was four death messengers. Or would you rather we just close? Would you rather? Well, listen, real close now. There was four death messengers. Is that right? What was it? One, palm worm. Two, locust. Three, cankerworm. Four, caterpillar. What is that? Through the church ages, you had the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, and the brindle horse. The four stages of Antichrist destroying the church. Right? Four messengers of Roman devils, dogmas, killed that tree. One took its fruit, one took its leaves, one took its bark, one took the light. Is that right? Four messengers of dogmas killed the tree, all but the roots. And if four messengers of death killed the tree, four messengers of life restore the tree. Do you get it? Amen. God said, I will restore. It's going to restore it. How? By four death messengers killed it, then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. What? The Word. There were four great prophets, one of them Martin Luther to begin with, to shine the light. It was a little light, just a very small strength of justification. Along came Wesley, stronger, sanctification. After Wesley come, a stronger than him, Pentecostal. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in another great prophecy. But in the last days, Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet, and the evening light is to come forth to restore and bring back what? Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, the fourth light. Four killers took it. Four messengers destroyed it. Four messengers of death took it away in dogmas. Four messengers of righteousness restore it back again. Prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? Wish we had time if we got wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophesy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of that coming forth of the church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming up? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on it, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when it come back, that fourth message of life was brought back. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, praise be to God. See, the resurrection could not have taken place in Martin Luther. It was just the bones. And then in sanctification under Wesley, it could not have come, the resurrection at that time, it was just the skin. And then in the Pentecostal, what was that? It was the blowing of the Spirit coming in. And then the word, I will restore. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just the Bible is so plain all the way through. The fourth light has come that will bring forth the same signs. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. But what brought back the leaf? Pentecostal. What is it? The Pentecostal leaves clap their hands with joy, rejoicing. Pentecostal. You know, the Bible says the trees shall clap their hands, right? All right. The fourth was the Word itself, the Word made flesh. Fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ was finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, baptism in the Holy Ghost, organization died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap on the pyramid. Brothers and sisters, these are very good questions that they gave me. And God has given us very good answers, and I'm just rejoicing within. Now, question number six. Brother Branham said, Billy Paul, that he would not be old, that the sharks will swim, when the sharks will swim over Los Angeles. Is this related to the season of the resurrection because Brother Billy Paul today is over 80 years old? Is that coinciding with that great California earthquake, which will also be the resurrection of the sleeping saints? Would it be when he comes, when the seventh angel is on earth at that coming? Here's my answer. I believe with all my heart Brother Billy Paul will be young again before the coming of the Lord. Because I saw him in the tent in a dream I had back in 2011. And we were in the tent, and he stood next to me, just about, I could reach over to touch him 2 or 3 feet away. And he was young again, dark haired, not thinning, his hair was not thinning like it is today, it was full. He was not heavy anymore. He was young. And he looked young, but much more mature than he looked in the pictures that you see when he was a teenager with his daddy, you know, the prophet. And he held up his hands like this to get the people's attention. He said, Daddy has arrived and he will be coming through that door. And he pointed over there. I was sitting at a table with my family. And
He was like right here. He came right up to the table and he said, "Daddy will be coming through that door over there." And I looked in the direction of his hand and I saw there was a single door on the side of the tent. And when I looked, I could see as far as, it looked like 100 yards down there, and half, we were about 60 yards from the split in the tent. There was like an accordion type wall, and it was opened up about 20 feet, and I could see all the way to the end, and there was a pulpit, and there was rows of chairs going all the way up. And then when I looked at him, I could see we were in the last row, but there was like room for about 40 more tables. I mean, there's 40 more yards, room for more tables to come. All right. But when he said, "Dad will be coming through that door right over there, so let's be making ready, and the meetings will begin in about 2 hours. That was just as real to me as I'm standing here right now. I call it a dream, but the Bible calls them a night vision. All right. I saw that tent, as Brother Branham had explained, in the vision. He said, I don't know if it was a tent or a cathedral. Why would he say that? Because a tent has canvas walls, but a cathedral has a roof like this. And today, in today's technology, all the big tents are blown up with air, and they look like a cathedral when you're on the inside. And yet they're canvas walls. All right? And that's what I saw. Okay? So, I believe Billy will be young again. And I believe the great earthquake that will destroy California, I believe just as, and we're going to find it in Matthew 25, verse 50 to 53, and God changes not, so what happened in the Alpha has to happen in the Omega. And we read from verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, okay, like we have shout, voice, trump. Brother, that's the voice of the resurrection, the same voice that brought Lazarus from the grave. A loud voice, notice, as we have already pointed out, the loud voice signifies the resurrection. He yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of the saints, bodies of the saints who slept arose. And notice there's a comma there. Notice the comma there, and it came out of the grave after his resurrection. Why? Because he had to lead captivity captive. He had to be the first, right? So they, even though their spirits were quickened by the great earthquake, yet until he came out 3 days later, they could not come out. But and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Question number 7: the tree of life in the book of Genesis is Christ. Or is it Christ, the man, the Son of God, or God Himself? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is it Satan, the old serpent, or Eve? Because why did Brother Brown said that the woman is a fruit tree? Okay, the answer to that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the woman, and the tree of life is Christ. From I Will Restore, Brother Brown said, now, I believe that the angel guarded the tree of life, and that tree of life was Christ. Of course, the tree of life was the woman. Through birth of a woman, we all die. Through birth of Christ, we all live. It's just as simple as anything. But there was that, and now I have my thought on what sin was and what the first sin was, and I'll tell you, you disagree with me, but so I'll just keep it to myself. From Marriage and Divorce said, now we find out death was caused. Death is the cause of sin of the woman, come through the woman and not the man. By her way of living her life, and by her all death comes, her way of giving life is death. You see? You know, we're all born in sin. Shaped iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies. Why is it sin? We're all born of a sexual desire, a sexual act. But a new birth in Christ is without sex. Alright? It's life. Has nothing to do with death. There's no death involved with eternal life. Alright? There is death involved with a natural life. Her way of giving life is death. How many knows that? Job 14, if you want to put it down, the scripture, if you want the question, I got the scripture wrote down for every bit of this. You want to read it? Job 14, there it is. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Is that right? He cometh up like a flower, he's cut down and wastes away, and so forth. Every man that's born of a woman is born of death as soon as he comes, but when he's born into the creation of God, he cannot die. He's from that other tree that was in the Garden of Eden, Christ. Eternal life come by the tree. Oh, you say she was a tree? Sure. What he said, thou shalt not take of this tree. God said in Genesis back there, Thou shalt not take of this tree. Why? The woman is a tree. She's a fruit tree. You're the fruit of your mother. The fruit of the womb is you. That's right. And then the fruit of the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden is Christ. Through the woman comes death. Through the man in the original creation come life. To be born of woman is death. Be born of Christ is life. You get it. Now from the token, he said, but, brother, when that token's once placed in your heart and you know it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you, something's happened. There isn't nothing to turn you. You know where you belong. Full obedience to the whole Word of God entitles you to the token and nothing else. Blessed is he that does all of his commandments, that he might have a right to the tree of life. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayers. Now, don't fail to get this. When you pray, you must have a token to hold over your prayer. If you're not, you're praying until the token comes because you're not promised to receive it. See, you've got to have this token first. That's the praying, the paying price, your faith to believe it. From Paradox, he said, but we all know that Christ is that tree of life. Now listen, here, I just want to stop for a minute. The man Jesus did not come until the birth in the... But the theophany was there. That theophany was the anointed one, the anointing. In the beginning was the Word, that's God, the Logos. And the Word became flesh. That was when out of God came forth that light. Genesis 1:1. Remember, it says, and God said, the very first time God spoke, there was a light come forth. He said, and God said, let there be light. And he called that light good. He called that light day. Well, Jesus is a day spirit. He is a daylight. Okay? You don't have the sun, the moon, and the stars until verse 14. All right? So what was that light in Genesis 1? It was the Logos of God bringing forth the birth of a predestined, of the pre-incarnate Son of God. The theophany, you know. Okay. So when you ask the question, was the tree of life the man Jesus? No, it wasn't the man Jesus. It was the theophanic Jesus. It was the Son of God. All right. Now, so he says from Paradox, but we can all know that Christ is that tree of life. For one day, see, here's the thing. If you touch the woman, and the Hebrew word is nefesh, I think it's nefesh or something like that. But anyway, it says, thou shalt not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The word touch there is actually a Hebrew word that means to have sexual relation with a woman, especially for the first time. All right? And to eat, it says, the adulterous woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and says, I have done no evil. All right? So that eating then is synonymous with having those relations. But when he said about the tree of life, that was Christ. You see, when you're born again, you're anointed by the anointing of God, the Spirit of God. That's life. That's the tree of life. When you're born in this flesh, it's through a sexual act. All right? Born of sexual act, it's death. I mean, the minute you're born, you're on your way to die. But when you're born again, when you eat from the tree of life, the anointing of God, there is no death associated with it. Okay? So, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that tree of life that came down from God out of heaven. He that eats this bread shall never die. That is the bread of life. All right. Question number 8. Serpent seed. Deuteronomy showed that the illegitimate child, bastard child, could not even enter the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. That was under the law, and Christ come to magnify the law. How much more is that? And from question and answer, Brother Ram said, now, in the Old Testament, when a baby was born, a bastard child, it could not even enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations or 400 years, something like that. The curse was so bad, just signal it. An innocent baby, it's great, 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 great grandchildren. Just think the baby's great, 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 10 great grandchildren could not even come into the congregation of the Lord. That's right. But you see, there was nothing there strong enough to forgive that sin. The blood of the Old Testament did not forgive sins, it covered sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ divorces sins. That's right. Now, when the blood of Jesus Christ comes in, it's the difference. Now, how can these two quotes match together? This person is looking at, well, Brother Brown said, it could never be forgiven, and now the blood can forgive. And they're not understanding, how is that possible if God changes not? Here's the thing. That is a difference between forgiveness of sins and the remitting of sins. To forgive sins, well, you did it, and there is knowledge that you did it, but you are forgiven for it. But it's always remembered. But to remit sins means you come to the place where there is no more desire to sin. Now, how can that be? From the rising of the sun, brother, I said, whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained. He's quoting Scripture. Now, the Catholic Church picked that up and taken it to the priest, but that's carnal. What? It was a spiritual, revealed word that did it. John 20:22, Jesus says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, people read that and they think, okay, if I forgive you, then it's over. That's not what he's saying. Notice it begins by receiving the Holy Ghost. Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, there's no more desire for sin. That's total remittance. You see? Notice we see this only in the Gospel of John and then in the Epistle of John, where John explains it further. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That word is, does not initiate sin. You know, David didn't go looking to find a woman to commit adultery with. He happened to look down in his flesh, said, wow, there's a naked woman down there, and so he committed adultery. He didn't initiate it. Satan initiated it by having her bathe herself underneath his banister. All right? So, what is sin but unbelief? And if you're born of God, of God's Spirit, you do not initiate unbelief. You can't. Oh, you might fall here and there, but He'll raise you up. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Question 9. So, do you understand the difference between forgiveness then and remittance? When you've got the Holy Ghost, you cannot sin because the Holy Ghost in you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me, Paul. It's not me living, but it's Christ who's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation, the faith, the revelation of the Son of God. The same revelation he had. I'm the Son of God. I have. I'm the Son of God. You see? And it's Christ that's living in me. How can Christ sin? How can Christ disbelieve? You don't disbelieve. Now, you might fall. You might have a moment of stumbling or whatever. But Brother Brown said, the bleach takes it all the way back to its origin, which is Satan. The bleach of the blood of Christ. You see? Hallelujah. Okay, question number 9. What do you think about these quotes that seem to support one disbelief? The first seal. I used to think years ago that maybe God was angry with me, but Christ loved me. Come to find out, it's the same person. See? And Christ is the very heart of God. Well, first of all, Christ and Jesus are two different things. Right? Christ is the God in the Son of God. He was born Jesus, and when God entered him, he became the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, not two. You know, they say, well, the Lord said unto my Lord. And if you go back to the original, it's Elohim said unto Adonai. And they say, well, what about when the Scripture says in Acts, it says, and this same Jesus, whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. How did God make him both Lord and Christ? Because God, the only one Lord, Moses said, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Jesus said, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Paul said, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And Paul said, if you preach any other gospel than I preach, you're cursed. So how can there be one Lord and yet now the Lord hath made him both Lord and Christ? Because the Lord God entered into his Son at the River Jordan. And he now become the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God had to leave him in order for him, the vessel, to die. People get caught up with the vessel all the time. That's why the oneness Pentecostals, they believe that, you know, their doctrine is God and Jesus are one like your fingers one. And Brother Brown said, no, he's not one like your fingers one. You know, they say, well, in the Bible, in Isaiah 9:6, behold,